everyone, it's Yannick Silver. Welcome to another Maverick Business Insider interview, and I'm very excited to have with me one of my friends and colleagues, Dory Friend, who is who's going to be on the line with us and sharing all kinds of good stuff. So, Dory, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So, Dory, I've known Dory for, God, how long has it been, like 7 years?
It's been since 2001.
Okay.
7 years,
wow.
Because I met you at a seminar in Cincinnati.
Okay. Wow, yeah, that's been a while.
That's been a long time. That was my first internet marketing seminar.
Well, Dory's awesome because she's so humble a lot of times. I mean, she's got this background, and hopefully you'll get into it, but really doing some cool stuff in the graphics world and working for Apple and you know, all the cool stuff on the West Coast over there, and then took those skills and then parlayed that, I guess, into what you really are known now for is the SEO stuff, and you've been an underground speaker. We had you on stage, and then a new Maverick 1000 member, and the SEO stuff, and everything from selling products to doing it yourself to helping other people learn how to get into the inner workings of the SEO things. So we'll cover some of that, but you want to fill in a couple blanks from kind of where you started and how you got into this crazy funky internet world.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like everybody has their story how we got here.
Yeah.
I grew up in Fremont Bay Area, graduated from UC Berkeley, lived in San Francisco, had my only job for the city and county of San Francisco for 5 years. I won an Employee of the Year Award for innovation, so that was like totally cool because I started the art department. I brought computers, the Macintosh, into the art department there. So I had kind of a computer background, and then I was stuck on the paycheck drug, and I wanted to get off that. I hated having to ask somebody if I could have vacation or if I could take a longer lunch. I hated it. It just drove me nuts. So the hardest thing I think I ever did was quit that job because it was a great job. I had made good money after 5 years, and I started I started freelancing. My girlfriend at the time worked for Apple, and I got my foot in the door, and I started doing HyperCard applications, which was it was the first application that relied on hyperlinks. HyperCard.
I remember HyperCard.
Yeah, in fact, I was involved in the first lawsuit that somebody said that they had the copyright to that.
Yeah.
So because I was displaying a product that I'd made at the first HyperCard convention in San Francisco, I was named on that lawsuit. Well, you know, of course, Apple squashed that, and nobody ever heard anything about that later. But that was, like, before the Internet, before all that. So I got into contracting with Apple. I did mostly software design, visual design, interface design. My first email address was dory.friend@applelink.com. So this goes way back to, like, 91. And So through the 90s, I did all that, and then I read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm trading my time for money. You know, I'm making good money. I'm probably doing a couple hundred thousand a year anyway. And
yeah, and that's back in the 90s,
you said? Yeah, I mean, I left making $125 an hour back then. That was in 2000 or 1999 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
And I was, young and having a good time in San Francisco. But then I realized, I don't want to keep trading my money. I can do better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And so Robert Kiyosaki talked about, he's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He talked about real estate, business ownership, and the Internet. And I thought, good grief, I'm already a geek. The Internet sounded like something that was for me. And I did dabble in some other stuff. I bought a laundromat in San Francisco. I dabbled in real estate, but the Internet really kind of sunk in for me. And so I started investigating that, and I will tell you, I got into things that were scams. Back then, people were really drawing people in, getting them to seminars, and it wasn't a good thing. So when I got an email from you, actually, and I think I got on your list from Robert Blackburn, I think he's an MLM guy way from way back somewhere.
Okay.
And you were selling this, you were going to be speaking at this thing. Jonathan Mizell was speaking, Alex Mondozian, A lot of them. You know, John Reese was there. It was the first one he'd ever gone to.
Right.
But I bought it, and I said, okay, I'm going to sit in the front row, and I want to see the whites in these guys' eyes, you know, see if they're telling me the truth. And, you know, I felt like, oh, my God, thank God, I fell into a bunch of guys that were telling the truth, that were really doing it, and just sharing their own experiences and not trying to sell me something that was not going to be useful for me. You know, although people do try to sell stuff, but,
sure.
But that's how I got into that. That's how I got into internet marketing.
You want to know a funny little side story about that event?
Yeah. I love side stories.
So, Mizell was like one of the guys I really looked up to, and then we had become friends and so forth, which is kind of cool. And so we were there together, obviously, and Alex and a couple other people, and this is how new that whole internet marketing world really was. Like literally, we would sell something there, right? But we really weren't like trying to sell anything there.
No, it was not pushy at all.
Yeah, trying to make money by selling it. It was more like, okay, well, here's, you know, I put together my own experiences, and here's what it is, and it's pretty cheap, probably. And so our whole pack, me and Jonathan, was that we wouldn't look at our orders, and we'd stuff them in our little just blazer or sport coat, and then we'd go upstairs and have some drinks, and then everyone would pull out their order forms and see what they made, and we'd like throw it on the bed and be like, wow, I made $7,000. Like, wow, I made $8,000. All right.
Yeah. I know, and back then that seemed like a lot, and you know, and it just gets bigger and bigger, I think.
Yeah, and so that was just funny. We're up there and just hanging out.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
that
was a very cool conference there.
Yeah, yeah.
John Reese kind of held court in the bar, you know, was telling people what he did.
Yeah.
It was the first time anybody had, you know, got to know who he was. Yeah, it was kind of like the beginnings, except for Mizell stuff in Colorado that he had in the 90s,
right.
I guess. But so I got into internet marketing. I was trying to figure out a product. I was doing the logo guru. I was doing graphics because, you know, that's my background. And then I just got into SEO, and I just stuck. You know, Jeffrey Cleary and I built this software, and we cloaked. I mean, we figured it all out. We just killed it in AdSense. I mean, we killed it back in 2003, 2004, 2005. Because once AdSense hit in late 2003, we had already had traffic because we were working with CJ and doing, you know, the other type of affiliate deals. So when AdSense came along, that just exploded everything. But then, you know, the AdSense thing went down, and then I got back into Link Networks and things like that. So SEO just really stuck. But, you know, one thing I want to say that I learned along the way here, and I feel like it took me longer to get to the place where I wanted to be, like where all you guys were. I didn't focus. And even though I was really good at SEO, I bounced all over the place. You know, I tried this, I tried that. I definitely had the shiny object syndrome. And I was just going, you know, I wanted to make the fast million. And finally, my BFF says, you know what, Dory, that's SEO business of yours. Just keeps plugging along, paying your bills month after month. You need to focus on that and grow that sucker. So
yeah,
that's what I'm doing. And I finally, you know, got 7 figures plus and joined Mavericks 1000, which was a hugest goal of mine.
Well, that was awesome. We were glad to have you. I mean, we've hung out and enjoyed many a fine beverage together and
yeah,
each other's humor and just general attitude. So it's been great to have you as part of it. You know, talk about, yeah, I guess there's, I mean, I want to talk about SEO for sure, but I want to talk about maybe a little bit more about the mindset around it, because here's why. And you and I, before we got started officially on the interview, we were talking about it, and you're like, okay, well, you know, you can doze off when I start getting into the tech stuff, because I'm a total non-techie, especially with the SEO stuff. But
he does. I've seen him leave the room when SEO guys come on. He does.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't, I don't know. For some reason, I got like a mental block.
It's okay. I can't write copy for crap, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing that I've always looked at it, and I'm like, okay, well, it's kind of it's almost like you're in quicksand in a way. You build something that you think is going to get really good natural search rankings, and then, you know, you're always beholden to Google or whoever else for their algorithm, and if they change it, you know, you're screwed. But, you know, obviously that's not true, because yours your SEO stuff was just plugging along and it kept growing and growing. So what's a broader mindset around that makes it a real legitimate strategy?
I think it is a moving target. It's definitely a moving target. That's part of what keeps it exciting. In fact, there was just a couple Google algorithm changes in February. You know, I guess that's last month. That really upset a lot of 11%, 12% of their search rankings, and it really affected some of the big content farms like Ezine Articles. Who's the other ones that affected? There's a list of them, but they will come back because basically it's still all around links. There's still always going to be something around that algorithm that's going to tell you this is how it's done. And so, people like me, we go back and we reverse engineer and get on top of it again. It is like quicksand, but there's nothing in business that I don't think is, because markets change, PPC changes, there's slaps everywhere. So I think like what we were talking about, like the mindset around it, when you have a business, it's mostly about, I think, it stops becoming about the money, if that makes sense. And it is about the money when you're doing it, but it has to be more about what you like to do and making other people happy, I think.
Okay.
When I started turning that on in my business, that's what really started helping my business grow. And like I said before the call, that's why I really connect with you, because I've heard you talk about tithing and making it more about giving back and what can I do, how can I over-deliver type of thing.
Right.
Because I'm a service-based operation. It's just not, I just don't pop up my own sites. I'm definitely service-based. I sell links, I build networks, I sell courses, things like that. So I have that customer that I'm trying to please and make happy.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a whole lot of... No, it's good. I mean, there's certainly a lot of SEO people out there. What do you think, what have you taken away that makes your clients come back to you and keep using you? Results are probably one thing.
Actually, results, in my best client is another SEO professional. So that is my number one client, is other people who have clients that they're trying to rank. So they come to me for advice. So I'm kind of like on the top of the echelon there, just because I've been doing it for so long, and I was one of the first people to actually build link networks, I mean, we were doing this way back in 2003 and 2004, and then doing it with Jeff Johnson and stuff, with Trafficking Pro. So I wasn't the first one who came out and sold access to one, but I was very quickly after that, and I probably am the biggest. I have the most sites, I believe. I go out and I buy deleted domains and build these huge networks. So I think that kind of separates me a little bit. But, and I always learn from the other guys, too. I'm constantly learning from my customers. When something happens, they'll say this, they'll say that, and then we go out and test it. So I don't think sometimes not one is better than the other. We all have different experiences. And what I really like to hear from people are their experiences and not what they heard, because a lot of stuff that we hear about SEO is myth, and it's like the telephone, playing telephone that goes just right through the industry.
Right.
So when I talk about it, I say I experienced this, or this is what I've heard, so people can kind of reference that, and make their own decision about what I'm about to say.
Yeah, I think that's a really big deal. All right, so let's dig into a little of the SEO stuff. One is, I guess let's preface it by saying why is it important? And I think I know the answer. I mean, obviously, it's kind of crazy. Like as we're talking, one of my very first sites is that instant sales letter site. And
I think that's how I got on your list. I bought that because I was just send letters to my logo guru clients.
Yeah, so I'm actually poking around and I'm like, let's see where I rank still. Because I haven't checked in a while, and I'm like, not too bad. I'm number five, and I think we've just sort of haphazardly fallen there because of our domain name and probably how old the domain is and how many links we have incoming from affiliates.
Yeah, and just doing your natural marketing,
yeah.
which is a lot of what a lot of the a lot of guys just preach. You know, just do your natural marketing and do things that will attract links, which is of course a wonderful wonderful way to go. And I'm just because I sell links and link networks, it's not does not mean I'm a proponent for natural marketing.
So let's cover. I mean, obviously SEO. I mean, the biggest reason, obviously, is I'm getting a lot of great free traffic out of Google.
Yeah.
For
and if you're number five, and if you were pushed up to number one, you would get probably 20-30% more traffic on that keyword, keyword you are. So, you know, the top of organic search, the top search page, you know, the top spot typically gets about 20-30% of all the page clicks. And then after that, it you know, for position two and three, it trails to 5-10%. And then after that, you know, it's less than 1%. And if you fall on the second page, of course, nobody ever sees you, barely.
Right.
And it's been reported through Web Sherpa. I got this in a video somewhere. You know, sometimes my brain just, I throw this stuff out of my brain. I can't remember. They quoted, or they did some testing, and they found out that natural search got 25% more clicks than even, the highest paid pay-per-click searches. So that was...
People are sort of, they're sort of getting hip to that, okay, this
yeah.
paid
ads, yeah.
really.
And also those are more converting, and I wish I had the percentage of that, but they do convert. They convert better.
Right.
They're not tire kickers. They're just they're looking for it. They get it. They convert better. So those are two big arguments to go
yeah,
into.
Yeah, no, those are really big ones, and it's
yeah.
You can pay your way in, but obviously, if you have natural listings, you have almost like the internal kind of the blessing of the search engine, in a way.
Yeah, yeah, and they think if you're number one, then if Google thinks you're number one, then you must be good. I mean, I'm an SEO person, and I still think that in the back of my head because we're just trained that way. You know, it's like a human condition. So,
how do we get to that first page or even the?
Well, you know, the first thing we're doing is we're talking about keywords, and even though that's like number three on my 7-step SEO guide that I'll go through.
Okay.
Choosing keywords, you know, I really, because we were just talking about pay-per-click, and that's why I want to go into this, because pay-per-click will let you know which of your keywords are going to convert, which is really important to know before you start a natural search campaign, because you're going to spend some time on it, or money, to get to that number one spot.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to say that pay-per-click is good for something, if not, you know, generating a lot of money through your sales and everything, but that's generally why I would send somebody to pay-per-click.
Okay, so they get that data, they get the history, and then they can now
yeah.
say, okay, I want
to the worst thing that would happen to me in my full-service SEO company is we would get somebody on page one, top five, for a keyword, and they go, you know, that one's just not converting for me, so I'm going to drop it.
Well, at least they knew.
I would, you know, we stressed that they should know because we didn't charge until we got them on the first page.
Yeah.
So then after that, we'd have a six-month clause, you know, once we get you there, you have to you stay there for 6 months and blah, blah, blah. But that was really painful, you know, because we're doing all the work, and then, it's not converting. So I tell people, before you have somebody do the work or before you do the work yourself, know which ones convert for you. But the first thing I do, let's go through the 7-step SEO
okay,
guide that
great.
I have. And, you know, I have a process map on this, and people can go to DoryFriend.com and opt in. Of course, a little plug there. But the first thing you get is all this, the 7-step quick start guide.
Okay, and Dory, for people that don't know how to spell it, is D-O-R-I, and friend just
F-R- yeah, D-O-R-I.
F-R-I-E-N.
And it's just a blog, and I post a lot of test results and things like that. You know, it's I don't sell anything on that blog. But seven steps. The first thing, and not many people talk about this, is that I tell people, and what I do is buy a deleted domain. If you go look for something that has age, you're going to start off right off the bat doing a little better because that's something that you cannot control in the future. I mean, you cannot control the age of the domain. You can't go out and buy it and, like, kind of give it age. Although I do, if I have a domain that doesn't have age, I will buy a domain that does have age and do a 301 redirect. Now your eyes are probably glazing over, huh?